Yep. So my name's Luca Degrassi, at Luke Degrassi, L-U-K-E, Degrassi on Instagram. And I've been in real estate for about 5 or 6 years now.
What's up, everybody? What's going on? Welcome to another episode of the Yes Show. Today, I have the guest, Luca, out of New York City or New Jersey. Where is it exactly?
I'm in Manhattan right now.
Manhattan. Okay, my man. So to break it out and let the listeners know today who you are, what you do, I'm going to pass it off to you to introduce yourself, where you started, where you came from, what exactly you're doing.
Yep. So my name's Luca Degrassi, at Luke Degrassi, L-U-K-E, Degrassi on Instagram. And I've been in real estate for about 5 or 6 years now, a digital marketing firm that tailors to the real estate industry. It's at Real Estate on Instagram, and an equity syndication fund here in New York focused on acquisitions nationwide called Pioneer Communities.
So I have to break into that right away. How did you get the at Real Estate? Is it at Real Estate?
It's just Real Estate. And it's an interesting story, actually. My partner, Tom, was out to dinner with his sister 6 days after Instagram launched. And he's a developer here in New York. And his sister said, "Hey, have you heard of this app called Instagram?" And he had not heard of it. And said, "Oh, well, I just signed up as New York City food and baking, those three accounts." So he worked in real estate and was like, "All right, well, I'll sign up as real estate." So they didn't really know at the time, like, what they were doing. You know, his sister Liz at New York City went on to co-found the first ever social media digital marketing firm.
Wow.
Sold it, went on to co-found another one. She now has like 1.6 million followers and works with like a number of brands. And at Real Estate was pretty much dormant for a large part of the last 5 or 6 years. And most recently in the last 8 months, it kind of got brought back to life. And it's been turned into this agency, if you will, that works with real estate professionals and anything really like real estate related. So, you know, even brands like Hugo Boss or WeWork, companies that operate within a structural type of environment, we work with those people.
This is very intriguing to me, and I didn't know that you had that tag before the show.
Yep.
So what is kind of the direction with it moving forward, the goal? I don't have my phone in front of me, but I want to look it up after we get off this interview. What is like the process with it? I know you mentioned you have a digital marketing company. You know, which direction do you see it going? Because the power of Instagram now has become so impactful. I mean, it's interesting to hear that you can build businesses off the back of these taglines or these accounts, these handles.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, at Real Estate for me is obviously, you know, the acquisitions and the commercial real estate definitely takes up a large portion of my time. You know, I'm very grateful that there's a team of people on at Real Estate, Tom being one of them, Phil being another. We work very closely with Liz when we're working with some of these larger brands. And, you know, the direction there is essentially to grow it into more of a franchise model, I think, where we can partner with different emerging economies nationwide. For instance, like, we are going to be launching at Real Estate Atlanta relatively soon. We partnered up with a digital marketing firm out there, and they're going to be creating content on the ground for a lot of the developers, a lot of the residential brokerages. And then we'll kind of be pushing that on our platform, right? Because we obviously have a lot of eyes on us, and that account is totally organic. You know, a lot of people have bots and whatnot running, and like, the at Real Estate is totally organically grown. Even when it wasn't being utilized or posted on a daily basis, it still grew by like 25,000 just because of the name.
Wow.
And I think that's kind of the direction, is to work with these brands and help them create content and then leverage our followers, leverage our name, and get it in front of the right people.
So that's really interesting, because I start to think of right away is the whole kind of movement of Barstool on Instagram, you know, whereas they've started to create this independence within each state to provide value of Barstools or whatever it is, you know, with that kind of theme where,
yeah,
I see the platform that you guys are kind of starting on with at Real Estate. You know, I could see you guys partnering with a local either influencer or someone that has the ability to, you know, at Real Estate Boise or at Real Estate Texas, you know, and creating kind of that mass movement of, you know, the awareness and brand presence of real estate on Instagram, because I feel like it's totally untapped, and correct me if I'm wrong, you know.
100%. And I think Dave Portnoy actually got arrested last night. Founder of Barstool. At the Super Bowl. He's a big Pats fan. And I don't know the details, but I saw a video this morning. But yeah, I mean, to answer your question, it's a really, really good point. And like, a lot of our mission with At Real Estate is kind of founded on the idea that the majority of players in real estate are, you know, these white-headed older individuals who don't really see the benefit of social media, who might still be kind of living in a type of mindset where like Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube content didn't exist. And what we're trying to do with At Real Estate is really to become a platform where that content can live and breathe, where the younger generation can access real estate, access knowledge, news headlines, content, and it can be kind of like a fun experience. Because I think a lot of people on the outside, you know, if you're reading The Real Deal or if you're looking at BizNow, it might just come off as a little bit boring. And I don't think real estate's boring at all. Like, I just started reading this book by William Porvoo called The Real Estate Game. And like, that's like, real estate is a game. Like, it is fun. It's this awesome like meeting of buyers and sellers and sizing up properties. And it's supposed to be fun. And so I think our main goal with At Real Estate is to really make real estate fun and to allow everyday people to understand that and really understand like how it works and how the game works.
I think that's one of the coolest things that you bring to this interview with that explanation of how it is, and to see it from kind of a bigger city perspective, you know, in Manhattan and whatnot. From my experience is, you know, every deal is so different and it is a game. You know, it's really cool that, you know, we can have the ability or have these tools and resources through social media and these new ways to provide kind of a better experience or help us connect buyers and sellers through these platforms. You know, I'd be curious to ask you, how many times have you been able to connect or close a deal or have a deal start from using these social media platforms?
I mean, it's a good question. Part of the reason why I quit the corporate finance industry, the commercial real estate finance industry, was just for that reason. I started bringing in deals directly from Instagram.
And they didn't like that, huh?
I mean, my whole perspective changed. I was just like, wait, so social media isn't social anymore? Like, there's business going on here? And I didn't know. Like, it wasn't until I started listening to people who were already doing it, you know, guys like Gary and other people out there who were doing it. And I started realizing like, oh, like there's actually business going on this platform. And to answer your question, I mean, I'm a living, breathing example of that. I met both my partners with At Real Estate on Instagram. Pioneer Communities, also born on Instagram. You know, me and my partner, Nick, we met about a year and a half ago and we were both working corporate jobs. He was on the private equity side. I was on the debt and equity side. And we were just talking about buying properties, but like we met on Instagram. And then 18 months later, you fast forward, we've launched an equity syndication fund and we're hopefully going into contract on our first two properties next week.
Wow. So that's crazy. So let's dive into that direction a little bit. And, you know, the social media thing is obviously a huge part of how you guys met and kind of where you guys are going. Maybe explain for some of the people that'll listen to the show, what the heck is syndication in real estate? You know, some people are interested in getting involved in it. I mean, maybe take people through the basics of what is real estate syndication and how all it works.
Yeah. So syndication in real estate is essentially when you're bringing investors together, a group of investors, and I'll speak in the first person. We essentially act as the deal finder. So we're out there, you know, we're scouring markets that we're interested in, Denver, Austin, Charleston, parts of New York, nothing in Manhattan, New Jersey, markets that we feel strongly about for a number of reasons, population growth, job growth, and we find deals. So we will look at, you know, at least one deal a day. And what we do is when we find a deal that we feel strongly about, and we've secured an LOI, we've gotten a price that we're comfortable with, at that point, we'll reach out to our investors and we'll actually see if there's interest on their part. And then we go into contract and we actually raise the equity. So we raise equity on a deal by deal basis. We think that that's wiser. We don't like to have money raised if we don't have deals that are actually feasible and viable and are going to close. And on top of that, you know, we haven't actually acquired a property through Pioneer Communities. Pioneer Realty Advisors, the parent company, owns a number of real estate holdings. But us, Nick and I, as Pioneer Communities, you know, are 2 months into this. So we feel strongly about syndication and we feel strongly about raising equity on a deal by deal basis.
So in when you guys are searching for deals, are you technically going straight to sellers? Are you finding stuff off market? I know that in my local market, if it's on the market, then it's usually been scanned by about 10 to 20 to 30 different people. And, you know, it's just, there's so much money out there right now that I feel like deals, like, where are you guys kind of finding your deals? Are you connected with local brokers or kind of what does that process look like?
Yeah. So a really good question. I mean, the actual deal finding process is a difficult one for that reason. Finding off-market transactions can be very challenging. So, you know, Nick and I are relatively fortunate, I guess, that we do have relationships with a lot of brokers and they haven't just been started in the last 2 months. Yeah. Nick and I have been in the industry for 16 years cumulative. And so we do know a number of people and we've actually structured deals. So we're going into contract on this portfolio deal with manufactured home communities. It's five manufactured home community parks. And the way that we actually structured the deal is the broker who brought it to us is a mobile home broker and he's going to come in on the deal.
Oh, wow.
So, okay. Is in South Carolina. So then that gives us feet on the ground.
Yep.
And he's going to be putting equity into the deal and he's going to be one of the limited partners. There will be other limited partners on that particular deal, but we'll structure it however we see best fit. But in terms of actually finding deal flow, we prefer off-market opportunities, but it kind of depends on the asset class and the market. For the manufactured homes, which is really our niche at Pioneer. We buy, sell, operate mobile home parks nationwide. It's a much smaller pool. So like it's not as popular as a, you know, 95% occupied multifamily building in Denver. Right. Like, you know, people haven't really seen a lot of these parks. So you're really not playing against the same amount of people you would be playing on more traditional assets. So we'll talk to brokers, absolutely, on manufactured housing communities. But when it comes to more traditional assets, you can definitely get a lot of value and benefit from finding more creative ways to source off-market deals.
Yeah. So when manufactured home, that's kind of interesting to me. So what does that kind of consumer look like? You know, you think of multifamily, you think of single-family homes. Is it... what kind of community? Is it an older community that's kind of purchasing those homes that want to downsize or have lived in an apartment for most of their lives and want kind of something more stable but can't afford the single family home? What does that kind of person look like? It's just interesting to me.
Yeah, no, it's a very interesting business model. And I'll be honest, I mean, you know, working, living in Manhattan here, we kind of have the ingrained notion that you know, a successful real estate deal is also the sexiest real estate deal, right? So it's like one of these super tall, like 157 on Billionaires Row with Central Park.
All glass.
Right. All glass. You know, Michael Dell in the penthouse at 100 mil. Ken Griffin spending like, you know, 230 on, like, you know what I mean? It's, you have this conception of what like successful real estate deals look like. And sometimes you really got to look at the numbers because the numbers don't lie. Yep. So when me and Nick really sat down and launched this fund, we didn't want to do what everyone else was doing because we just, there's too many people in the herd. And if you follow the herd in real estate, it's very tough to stick out. And I think that where most successful investors, owners, operators have found the greatest benefit is by really finding a niche that other people maybe aren't looking at. Mm-hmm. So we got very interested in mobile home communities. So we're not actually buying mobile homes. We're buying the entire park. And there's a huge need right now for affordable housing. And where we see the economy going over the next 18 to 24 months, I think will only further solidify that argument. And so there's a lot of attractive components to getting into the mobile home investing kind of scene. And so a lot of the tenants in these homes, I mean, it varies. If you're looking at a park in New Jersey, you know, it might be kind of more mixed. If you're looking at a park that's in South Carolina, it's going to be mixed. It's really going to vary from state to state, market to market. For the most part, are you seeing, you know, 19, 20 year olds living in mobile homes? Probably not. It's probably an older demographic, families, people who are retiring. And then in terms of ownership, we've been seeing a lot of family ownership. So the typical structure we'll run into is 80-year-old dad who inherited the park from his dad, and then 80-year-old's dad, 50-year-old son who manages the park for him.
Yeah. That's really interesting, you know, because that whole generational pass down in the movement of more private equity and whatnot into these asset classes that provide kind of a lot of upside or value swing, whether, you know, you're looking at rental rates and whatnot, and you're like, oh my gosh, we could take this, you know, buy it at an 8 cap and sell it for a 6 cap. You know, it's so interesting to see kind of that perception and that understanding of, you know, where our housing is going, you know, right, and what different amenities, different, you know, customers or tenants or whatnot try and find. So that's really good and valuable to a lot of the people that listen to the Yes Show. I think a lot of people are interested in getting into real estate. They don't know where they're going, where they want to start. You know, if you were to start all over again, you know, rewind 16 years and you were new getting into real estate today, where would you start? Why would you start there? Is social media, what approach would you take? Would you go brokerage? Would you go equity side to learn that side? If you had to redo it all over again, where would you start today?
I'll give you two answers. The first answer is the answer that I think I would probably subscribe to, and that would be that I wouldn't change a thing because I'm honestly pretty satisfied with where I'm at today. But if I were to just do maybe one thing different, it would be to not buy into the illusion that I can't be a property owner. I've worked in real estate for so long, and I would work on these large transactions, and there's sponsors and there's buyers and there's sellers. And it was always like I was removed from the transaction. It was always just like, okay, well, I'm going to help you with the financing or this and that. And like, what I didn't realize was that like ownership is available to all of us. I just thought that there was this like lucky, if you will, percentage of the population that had this ridiculous net worth and that they could purchase properties. And that's not true. Anyone can invest in real estate.
I like that. I like that a lot. So if you had to, how do I want to word this? If you had to take direction using social media, and I know that, you know, I've heard some things recently and I want to bounce this off you to verify if it's true. Are you starting to see, maybe let's look at the residential market because it's probably more so relevant in Manhattan today, is are you seeing people wanting to buy from influencers rather than good brokers?
There was actually an article, I think, it was in The Real Deal. And the title was actually, it was just that. It was that people today are more likely, people, millennials, are more likely to buy from an influencer on Instagram than an actual broker. And I mean, look, I think there's validity in that. I don't think that you can replace what a broker does in terms of going out and understanding the market. But my answer would be that I think every broker should aim to become an influencer. Like if you're a broker and you're not on Instagram and you're not pumping out content, you're missing out on a really, really large share of the market and you're selling yourself short.
And I think that a point to that, that's really, as you were speaking about that, you know, a lot of either, I would say more residential wise, those buyers and sellers are undereducated about how good a broker is. Unless you're in the brokerage community, you're like, oh, okay, that guy does $100-200 million in volume a year or whatever that number is, where that outside consumer doesn't get exposed to that very often, you know? And so maybe they see it on Instagram and they're like, oh, I want to use that guy or use Ryan Serhant because he sells X amount of real estate, you know? And so it's really interesting to hear that perspective of, you know, how can you level yourself up using a free platform like Instagram? Not to say that it's free because you want to produce good content, but I think that that's really interesting.
And like, I've worked with Ryan, like we've worked with Ryan through At Real Estate, and this isn't a knock on Ryan. Like Ryan is probably one of the greatest marketers in this industry, but is he a better broker than, I don't know, 25% of the other brokers out there? Like, I don't know. I don't know. What I do know is that he's an excellent marketer. Yep. And that's where he stands apart. He doesn't have some hidden broker skill that, like, you know, wasn't in the New York real estate salesperson class for everyone else. Like, it's not like the rest of New York missed a chapter in that book. Like, he just is able to take that and then apply that and just put a spin on it that's his own. And that's why he's successful, I think, is because he's an incredible marketer.
It's very true. And that's really interesting to know because, you know, to speak with someone that's worked with him or worked in that Manhattan community, you know, people tend to perceive the life and the person you portray on these social media platforms and whatnot. Like you mentioned, is he's genius at marketing, whether he's throwing these rad parties or he has his personal vlog or kind of what it is, he's been able to capture attention and, you know,
100%.
Attention transitions into sales most ways, you know? So 100%. Pivot this a little bit. I do want to do a follow-up interview with you and get really, really detailed on some of these things that we've discussed today, but I'm kind of blown away just talking with you today. Let's talk a little bit about the yes questions, because I'm curious to know more about you and your personal brand on Instagram. What is your goal with your own personal brand through Instagram? Is it to help syndicate more deals? Is it to portray your lifestyle? Is it to portray your real estate lifestyle? Are you kind of just taking the direction of, you know, you want to share everything and, you know, everything you do?
Yep. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, my account was, you know, I probably had on my personal at Luke DeGrassi, I might have had like 200 followers like a year and a half ago. And then I started listening to Gary Vaynerchuk and I started actually applying the lessons that he was teaching and a number of other social media gurus. And I just started posting more. I started engaging with my followers. I started giving back value. My account grew and I didn't really plan for that, but now that I know that I have eyes on me, I want to help people. So, you know, at the end of the day, whether that is through like my spiritual experience and sharing that, or whether it's through giving value back through real estate knowledge, any way that I can just help people, that's kind of where my platform and why it exists and why I still post. Will a deal come from it? Yeah, sure. I mean, we're about to go into contract on something in Austin. I was in Austin. I posted a story saying I was in Austin. This guy followed me. I had no idea. He owns 400 acres outside of Austin. He's looking to sell it. And we know a guy who it's perfect for. So like, you know, I think that if you do good and if your intentions are right and your motives are right, and you're just trying to help people, however that looks, good things will come back to you. I mean, that's something I subscribe to. Like if I do good, good happens. Conversely, if I do bad, bad will probably happen. So as long as I'm like consistently putting out an authentic message, I know that it probably will translate into, you know, more good.
Yes.
However that looks.
I like that a lot. I think that that's so important with, you know, creating a personal brand and, you know, sharing, you know, Gary Vaynerchuk puts it best is to document rather than create. You don't have to recreate something, just share what you're doing, you know.
Yep.
Like people relate with that and people trust you more. And, you know, I think it's not like you're doing it to, you know, make money on the back end. It's more of you're doing it because you might have someone relate with you and you guys can have a deep-hearted conversation on, oh, how did you get through that struggle? Or I'm struggling with this. Could you help me? Because I realized that we're in the same boat. Or yeah. I just think that it's really fascinating. And I love to hear people like you speak on that is
yeah.
out there to help people. You know, you might post a picture of your six pack and it's like, oh man, you could help someone get a six pack.
Yeah. And like, you know, there's more to that too. Like, and I, my big thing on social is like, get vulnerable. Like don't, you know, I've fallen victim to this where like I would try to appear a certain way. And then I realized like no one's buying it and yeah. I don't feel good about trying to be inauthentic. So let me just take off the mask and let me just put it all out there. So like, you know, if you go through my Instagram, like, yeah, there's pictures, there's fitness pictures and stuff, but there's more to that. Like I had a near death experience when I was 10 years old. I fell out of a 30-foot tree and I lacerated, you know, my internal, I had things that were lacerated, my kidneys, my liver, my intestines. I shattered the right side of my face. So I had 3 abdominal surgeries as a result of that. And for a very long time, like I dreaded pool parties. I hated taking my shirt off. I was the kid in middle school who would be off in the side, like changing in gym class, like in the corner, because I was so scared of people seeing my scars.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I started actually choosing to live a very healthy lifestyle, I felt better. And I got this like self-confidence back that I had lacked for so long, and to actually be like comfortable in my own skin and in my body was like such a huge, huge milestone. So yeah, you will see some selfies or whatever on my account.
I love that. Cause there's more to it than I even perceived, you know.
Right.
It's really cool to hear that because, you know, I wonder how many people you share your story with, and like, to be able to like share that with people, I think is like super awesome because, you know, there's a lot more to it that people also don't perceive, you know.
100%. And that's why, like, I think documentation and content creation is so important, but like, don't write off the caption. Like, you can post a picture, but if you follow up with a really, really strong caption, that post is just so much more likely to go viral or at least just touch more people in a more profound way.
I love that. So all of you out there listening, the captions are important. Don't just put a bicep flexing or a sunshine, you know, explain your experience or what you're trying to share with the world in that picture or whatever. So
Yes. With
that, we're going to start the yes questions. So I know you're healthy, fit, take care of your body. What does your morning routine look like? Because I'm always intrigued to learn others' morning routines because I try and incorporate things that work for me.
I love that question. I will tell you right now, I was not always a morning person. Over the last 5 years, I've kind of gotten this acquired taste, if you will, through a lot of just forced exposure and alarm clocks, multiple alarm clocks, you know, with 5-minute intervals going off. I wake up at 4:15 every morning.
Wow.
And I dedicate a good hour and a half to just kind of getting spiritually right for the day. So for me, you know, it looks like prayer. It looks like meditation. It looks like reading. I'll go through a number of books. I'll get caught up on relevant news headlines. And then I'll spend a good 20 to 30 minutes just kind of outlining goals for the day and literally like implementing a schedule. You know, I think one of the hardest things about being an entrepreneur or self-employed or whatever you want to call it is having that accountability, right? Because you don't have anyone to report to, really. Like, you don't have a boss saying, hey, you have to be at your desk at this time and that time. So what I've found most successful is literally taking that time early in the morning to make that schedule and then adhering to it. And then later at night before I go to sleep, I review it. And yeah. I'm like, okay, did I hit my goals? How can I do better tomorrow? So just constantly improving. But that first hour and a half for me is really just getting my mind right and taking a look at what the day is going to look like, visualizing success. And then, you know, I'll go get a workout and start my day.
Okay. That's interesting. So when you're up in the morning, first thing, and you're reading, meditating, how do you not fall back asleep? It takes me about 20 minutes to get going. I got to get the body moving a little bit. I'm just curious.
Yeah. Well, I was born and raised in Italy, so I've been drinking espresso since I could walk. so I'm a big advocate. So I'll have, you know, one or two shots of espresso right when I get out of bed. And that pretty much does the trick.
I'm going to have to adopt that. Espresso machine right on the nightstand.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
All right. So this could get interesting. No question number two I ask people, and we always tend to get into conversation about these individuals, if you had to go on like a weekend getaway, let's say it's either a hike in the hills or to the beach in the Bahamas, if you had to pick three people to kind of go with you to learn about who they are or just have questions for those kind of people, what three people would you take with you and why?
So this can be any three people?
Any three people.
Okay. Let's see. I would probably bring Jeff Bezos, Gary Vaynerchuk, and Grant Cardone.
Ooh, those are good.
I think those would be my three.
Do you think Gary and Grant would get along or would there be
No. Way too much of a clash there. 100%. Yeah.
So what is it about those three that really fascinate you?
I mean, I'll really focus on Gary. I mean, Jeff Bezos to me is like the American entrepreneur. You know, whenever I see that picture of him in his dorm room with Amazon.com, like that picture is just incredible to me. And it evokes a lot of emotion. And, you know, I love Grant's hustle and I've read a lot of his books. I think the 10X principle is like, you can apply that to pretty much anything. Yeah. But Gary, namely, you know, he'll probably never know this, but he played a huge role in me actually quitting corporate. And I was very unhappy. Like, you know, I wasn't looking forward to going to work in the morning. I just didn't know that there was like another way. Like, I didn't know that I could do what I loved and like still make money. Like, you know, I went to all these great schools or whatever. And like, it was just ingrained in me. Like you need to go work for someone on Wall Street or in finance or whatever to be happy and to make money. Like I didn't know there was another way. And so Gary kind of opened up that door for me, through his podcast, through his books. And it really allowed me to make that jump. So a lot of gratitude for that guy right there.
It's so fascinating to hear how many people's lives he has affected with, in ways, very simple concepts, you know? Yep. And that's the thing that I think I enjoy the most of absorbing his content, his material, is, you know, you can take some nuggets away from it and then not listen to it for 6 months because you understand the gist of it and really apply it to your life. And you look up and you're like, whoa, this is actually, you can create your own reality and you can do what you love and love doing it. You know, it's like what you're saying is you didn't enjoy going to work. And, you know, I love when he says, well, you could make $80,000 a year podcasting because you're a sports fanatic rather than going to your call center job and making 65 or whatever that is. And it's, you know, it's so interesting to hear, you know, the others, not only myself, have kind of taken those concepts and applied them to the life that we want to live, you know?
Yeah, no, it's amazing.
All right. To wrap up the Yes Show today, what is one question you have for the audience and the listeners that could question them, anything you want to ask them, what's on your mind and what do you like to challenge people about?
I mean, I would challenge people to get more vulnerable on social media, post once a day, understand your audience and how you can bring value back to that audience. And if you want to reach out to someone, like if you see someone on social who you think is just crushing it or that has something you want, reach out to them. Like, reach out to them. I can't tell you how many people I've connected with, like students, you know, who are either just graduating and want to get an internship, or maybe they're even younger and they're looking to get to college. Like, just reach out. Like, they're people, you know, and honestly, 90% of the time, they'll probably get back to you.
That's so true. I've got a funny story I'm going to touch on real quick about that is I've had multiple communications with Elena Cardone.
Yep.
And it's personable, and it's just, you know, you'd never imagine to be able to exchange some words or a few text messages with someone of that influence and power.
Right.
And it, you know, happens to be on their mind. And, you know, looking at it from the flip side, she has a very similar mentality as we do, is how can we help others? You know, I love when you get a DM that says, hey, I'm doing this real estate thing. I've got these questions. How, like, could you help? And that just makes you feel good, you know, is because they trust you and you're able to provide value back to those people. So
100%.
Wrap it up today. Thank you so much for being on the Yes Show. I really look forward to a continued relationship.
Absolutely.
Final words.
If you're looking to invest on any mobile home communities or want to learn more about that side of the industry, you know, feel free to give me a call. Always happy to be a resource.
Awesome, man. Well, I will make sure all your links and stuff are in the bio of the podcast. And thanks again, man.
Thank you.